This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report for this weekend's edition of KER Politics. Al has a couple segments for us coming in the next segment and the following one. So we are filling the initial segment as well as our final segment with a couple daily editorials from this week. We're going to start off with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex. And at the tail end of the show, we're going to feature Chris Ritchie from Silvercrest Metals and their Q4 results. We are kicking off the second hour as Mark discusses his thoughts on this recent pullback in U.S. equities.
Yeah, you know, I had thought that this move was only going to be like sort of what we've seen in recent past, where there's a counter trend, a dollar bounce, stock market pullback. But I thought that was all going to end. That move was going to end after we got that CPI number a week ago. But it hasn't. It's actually continued. And we've got long streaks now, several week streaks. I mean, I think that the markets, to me, turned in the middle of July. And I was thinking that, like I say, I was thinking that this is going to be just a normal kind of move and it would end. But it hasn't yet. And even as we go into this weekend, I think we're still struck with the weakness of equities. Even though in the U.S. we've got the stock market trying to stabilize here, we've still got a relatively weak stock market, and yields have pulled back a little bit here. They've softened a bit. They're still pretty firm, and we've still got the dollar, which, again, narrow ranges ahead of the weekend, but it's really been a story about a strong U.S. dollar, rising global interest rates, except for China, which cut its rates, of course, this past week, and falling stocks.
So, Mark, how do you carry this over to, I guess, money flows? Because, well, I guess it makes sense that the dollar has gotten a rebound here, but don't you think bonds would be bought or other money would rotate more into the U.S. as, yeah, the data has been better?
It's a kind of bit of a mystery to me as well. What I do see, though, the market still is not convinced that despite the acceleration of the economy, the market is still not convinced the Federal Reserve is going to raise interest rates. So one thing that we've seen is the yield curve, the 2 to 10 year curve, is still inverted, but almost half of what it had been, say, 2 months ago. So I think that's the sort of the challenge, is that in a strong economic environment with a lot of Treasury supply coming, and the Federal Reserve seemingly reluctant to raise interest rates further from the market's perception, I think that could help explain why the 10 years at these kind of levels. You know, some people blame the Japanese. It's a common, I think, for Americans to blame somebody else for our problems. But the rise in U.S. yields, people say, well, it follows that when the Bank of Japan tweaked their yield curve control policy at the end of July, and that's going to make bonds more attractive in Japan, that they'll keep their money at home and maybe even sell treasuries. But what we've seen happening is from the Ministry of Finance from Japan, they report portfolio flows every week. And since they tweaked their policies at the end of July, Japanese investors have been net buyers of foreign bonds. And the same thing, in December last year when the Bank of Japan surprised us and also adjusted the yield curve control, since then, the Japanese are not sellers of foreign bonds like they were for most of 2022, but they've turned buyers this year, almost buying maybe at a slightly faster pace than they were sellers last year. So it's hard for me to see the rise of U.S. yields because of what Japan is doing, since they've been actually net buyers of bonds. Some people want to blame the Chinese as well, and we did see the tick data, and that's the Treasury International Capital Flow Report, and it did look like China reduced its Treasury holdings. But the trick there is that Treasuries aren't the only assets that foreign central banks or foreigners buy in the U.S. In this kind of environment, sometimes there's a preference for agencies. And this year, China has bought more agency bonds than they have treasuries. I should say the other way around. They've bought more agency bonds than they have sold of U.S. treasuries. Because not just switching from treasuries to agencies, but net, they still are buying U.S. assets. So I think that we've had a backing up of U.S. yields because of strong U.S. economy, idea that Fed's not going to raise interest rates again, concern about upcoming supply.
Well, Mark, we've talked a lot about bonds and the treasury yields, not just in the U.S., but globally. But when you talk about Japan and what they're doing, when you talk about China and kind of the weaker growth and what they're doing to try to stimulate some of their markets that are struggling a little bit, when you look at Europe and what their growth prospects are, when you look at Great Britain, how does this relate to the currencies? Because a lot of times when we're seeing dollar strength, it's not just a vote on the U.S. economic health. It's really an anti-vote on what some of the other currencies are doing.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's one of the things I like about currencies, that you have to really, that it's multidimensional. But it's kind of interesting to think about what's going on here in the currency markets. So the biggest currency outside of the dollar is, of course, the euro. And this is the fifth consecutive week that the euro has sold off. Five consecutive weeks. And you can look at some of the other currencies, and it's sort of the same story. The Australian dollar, 5 weeks down. The Japanese yen has also suffering, and it's one of those currencies that have made new highs. The dollar has made new highs for the year against Japan, and the dollar is up for about the third week in a row against the Japanese yen. The yen is really strengthening here today, and it could jeopardize, could stop the streak. But so I'd say that part of what's happening, I'd say it's something like this: the relative strength of the U.S. economy pushing up U.S. interest rates, and that is having a knock-on effect of the dollar getting stronger. It's not that other countries haven't seen a rise of interest rates. It's that the dollar had sat basically on a stool, and that stool was primarily one leg, rising interest rates. So people like myself thought that when U.S. rates peaked and when we really got to the point where the Fed was done raising interest rates, the dollar would come off. And so far it hasn't. Partly it seems to me because the economic strength is more than we thought. Even people like myself who thought there was a recession last year when we had those two quarters of negative growth, we've come back strongly. And even then we thought that, well, maybe the economy slows down as we get into the second half of the year. And what that Atlanta Fed story is that the U.S. economy might be accelerating. I think it's going to have knock-on effects, and I don't think that this theme can last. That is, it just seems to me to be a contradiction between, on one hand, people getting optimistic on the economy, and on the other hand, saying the Fed's done raising interest rates. I think one of those are going to be proven wrong.
Which one do you think is going to be proven wrong? Do you think that this economic data is going to simply turn on its head here in the near term?
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking that feel like we should press our luck. And that is wrong on both counts. Wrong that the Fed has done. I think that we'll see Powell. That's really one of the highlights for next week, is the Jackson Hole conference. And Powell speaks next Friday morning at around 10 Eastern time. And, of course, we're obviously going to be paying attention to it, partly because not only is he the chair, but the market has typically viewed Powell as being more dovish than perhaps he wants to be, or I should say more dovish than the FOMC statements. And so my sense would be both things happen. That is to say, the Federal Reserve, Powell is going to keep the idea that they might have to raise rates again, and that the economy is going to slow down. And one of the things I'm looking at for next month is the sort of return to fiscal policy. I know we've been talking about monetary policy and interest rates, but the U.S. fiscal year ends at the end of next month. And the U.S. needs to have the spending authorization bills approved by the end of next month, or some parts of the government will have to close. And Congress, just looking at like the holiday schedule that they have, looking at the legislative schedule, it seems increasingly difficult that they're going to be able to do that. So they'll either have to find a compromise to kick the can down the road, some kind of continuing resolution bill, just to extend spending for a little bit longer, or we're going to face a government shutdown. And my sense is, as we saw with the debt ceiling issues, it's going to be another brinkmanship game from both sides. And I think that we are seeing some signs. When you really look below the surface of some of the numbers, take a look at some of the data on a non-seasonally adjusted basis, we're already seeing some signs of slowing of the labor market. So I still think that we're going to slow down, but this Atlanta Fed's GDP is warning us that we might accelerate first.
So we are out of time for this segment, but if you want to listen to that full segment with Mark Chandler, please visit our website and click on that Friday posting. Al is going to be with you for the next couple segments for KER Politics.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with ExtendoVite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Your weekly weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
We had the brief commercial break after the prior segment. Jimmy is going to go back and clean that one up simply by bringing up two things that we wanted to talk about in that segment. And then we're going to get on with it.
Yeah, I think it's really important to understand that the amount of revenues, and we talked about this last week, that the government is taking in is far below the budget deficit requirements. And now we're approaching a $2 trillion deficit for this fiscal year. It's at $1.6 trillion right now, and by the time we finish it out, it could be close to $2 trillion. And that's on top of already a $31 to $32 trillion debt. So these problems are really difficult to overcome.
They are hugely difficult to overcome, Jimmy. Terrifying to me every time I hear those numbers talked about on the daily news. Something else that I find terrifying in one sense is the development of the atomic bomb. Saw the movie last night, which, by the way, I highly recommend to everybody to see. I went and saw it because I know you and the family went and saw it, and you told me it was a do-not-miss movie. Well, I went and saw it last night, and it truly was a do-not-miss movie. You want to talk about it a little bit, Jimmy?
Yeah, we're talking about Oppenheimer, and I think, you know, it's Christopher Nolan. He's a phenomenal director. He spent a lot of time on this. It's a long movie, but it is incredibly engrossing. It does a phenomenal job of going through the history of the development of a nuclear weapon and the justification for the development of a nuclear weapon, driven by fears of people like Albert Einstein and others that knew that the Nazis were trying to develop the weapon. And they put together with J. Robert Oppenheimer and a general or a colonel at the time named Leslie Groves a plan to go ahead and create and build the weapon. The movie walks through the whole process and actually gets into some of the personal issues with Oppenheimer, because, you know, he was associated with communists, and it was a tremendously challenging time in the world, and then talks through the implications of the development of the weapon and gives actually a fairly accurate picture of the timeline and the kind of the events surrounding it based on a very accurate, from what we understand, a historical perspective.
Well, what I thought was interesting was Oppenheimer's involvement with the Communist Party, which was minimal, but I'll tell you, the U.S. really, really went after that, because not only was J. Robert a member of the party, but his wife was also a member of the party. But I think she summed it up in a testimony very effectively when she said, "I was looking at not necessarily at what was going on in Russia at the time, but in the pure sense I was looking at the party, what it advocated and what it didn't advocate." That's something I think that was very, very interesting point, Jim.
Well, people forget, you know, we look back now through very different eyes, you know, historically than people at the time. And remember Marxism and Leninism, and of course the control that was created after the fall of the Russian Empire and the creation of the Soviet Union. There was a lot of excitement in that period of time for the labor movement.
Yeah,
to the point where Yeah, to the point where people like FDR created programs like Social Security, and, you know, the state became more responsible for individuals because of kind of the pressures from this leftist ideology. And no one understood early on in the early 30s what was actually happening inside the Soviet Union to control people's thoughts, views, and the basically horrific events of like the Holodomor in Ukraine, the starvation of people, the internment camps, the gulags, the mass culling of opposition, mass murders on unbelievable scales. And of course, many people didn't understand it because it's a different world back then. You didn't have the same amount of information flow. And so this ideological view that everybody was be equal sounded good. But what you saw with fascism, and remember, nationalism, national socialism, was not necessarily a right-wing idea. That was kind of a socialism idea that was merged together with corporate identity, something that we're seeing on a global scale right now.
I think
this movie captures that and helps educate people on a lot of different issues, but certainly on the personal issues with Oppenheimer and what the long-term ramifications were for the development of the bomb, the concerns that were there. And of course, we haven't had another event since Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
No.
Thank God. And maybe because of the fear of the potential damage that would be done. But what happened afterwards was a tremendous, after the development bomb, a tremendous race for who would have the most power. And
Eventually
that cost the Soviet Union its existence.
Well, I don't mean to let the cat out of the bag, but what I thought was very interesting is toward the end of the show, Oppenheimer was chatting with his friend Einstein, and he was saying, you know, you and I were talking years and years ago about what kind of effect a weapon like this would have on society, because we didn't know at the time, but they were having this conversation at the end of World War II, and he said, now we know. And the impression that I walked away from that statement was the atomic bomb really, I mean, yeah, a lot of people got killed, and God bless them, but I have to tell you, we haven't had a major, what I would call a major war of the magnitude of the First or Second World War since the atomic bomb was developed. And I have to say thank God for that.
Yeah, you do. And, of course, a lot of people question the use on Japan, but the reality was after the absolute devastation and willingness of the Japanese people to sacrifice to fight for Okinawa, the expectation was a million casualties on the mainland Japan.
Yeah.
And they would not have given up without the emperor and the senior military leadership basically saying enough is enough. And they made the decision to drop the bomb. Truman made the decision. He did it. And what we saw was a race for that power afterwards that actually created the conditions that people were so afraid to use it as they built up these massive arsenals. The policymakers were hesitant to do it. What we've seen now is a dispersion, though, with a lot more countries having nuclear weapons. And, of course, the question always is, how responsible will they be and how desperate and will they be able to control them and maintain them?
Yeah, I think this motion picture should go down as the best picture of 2023. And the reason I say that is it was very definitely not fiction. It definitely had much more than, gut-wrenching action and sex in the movie. It really made you stop and think about the importance of the magnitude of the importance, I guess I should say, of the development of the atomic bomb. I don't think so. You guys stick around. We're going to be right back after the top of the hour news.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25% plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. update.
This will bring significant and rare impacts to portions of Southern California.
This weekend, Hurricane Hillary prompting the first ever tropical storm alert for Southern California. Rain and very windy conditions expected, stretching from Cabo San Lucas up to San Diego and then farther north into Reno, Nevada.
The National Weather Service has upgraded a tropical storm watch to a tropical storm warning. Wind gusts to 60 miles an hour are possible, along with 2 to 4 inches or more of flooding rain. I'm Michael Kastner.
President Biden at Camp David this Saturday, continuing to host the summit with key allies, the leaders of Japan and South Korea, as the threat from China rises.
Unwavering in our unity and unmatched in our resolve.
And this Saturday morning in Maui, 114 people now have been identified by the medical examiner in the aftermath of the catastrophic wildfire. This is USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
AER, politics and finance, and politics and economics, I guess I should say, if we're going to stick with the same name. You guys, one thing that's really bothering me right now is we have a very important candidate out there right now who is not getting any Secret Service protection, and that's Robert F. Kennedy. Read about that yesterday. I think that that is absolutely terrible. When you forgot the word, so I took a synonym with it. Anyway, what I want to say is I think it's terrible that RFK is not getting Secret Service protection. Jim, you want to comment on that?
You bet. You know, this shows you how far the Biden White House and the Democratic Party will go to control the direction in the future, not only of the party, but protect Joe Biden. Here's this, you know, the reality. It's not like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. doesn't have good justification to be concerned about his safety. His father was murdered in the Democratic primary in 1968. His uncle was murdered as president of the United States in 1963. And here's some of the facts that he's presented, that Robert F. Kennedy's presented, that when Teddy Kennedy, his uncle, ran for office, and before he'd actually made his claim that he was running for office, he got Secret Service protection 441 days out. And he was running against an incumbent, Jimmy Carter, Democrat, and Jimmy Carter approved the Secret Service. John McCain got Secret Service 551 days out. Obama got it 551 days out. The fact that the Biden administration is not going to give him Secret Service protection shows absolute criminal, in my view, criminal efforts to undermine candidacies, even within his own party, as they're doing against the other players on the Republican side.
I couldn't agree more, Jim. I just could not agree more. I think that the administration is probably very worried about the fact that RFK could probably run away with the election, as far as, because Democrats are looking for somebody to vote for. Most of them don't like Joe Biden very well.
Well, that's the problem. Joe Biden's got so low ratings. He's made so many blunders in public, embarrassing statements.
Yeah.
And Robert F. Kennedy, again, he has that speech impediment issue. It makes it difficult for some to support him because, often people don't think very deeply. But policy-wise, he's tearing apart Biden and is an incredibly important competitor in a Democratic process.
Yeah.
But think about this, Al. So I do not understand what the strategy is behind denying it, because what happens if Kennedy gets assassinated?
Yeah.
Where would that blood be? It would be directly on the Biden administration. And so it makes you wonder one of two things. One, they don't want to give RFK credibility that he would get Secret Service protection.
Benny.
Although the policy is basically with over 15% of polling numbers, and it looks like he has over that.
Right.
So that's interesting. That may be one policy. The other one is, well, just in case he gets too far ahead, maybe somebody takes him out. Which I pray that's not the case. But you have to ask questions why they would not be willing to do this. Why? And oh, by the way, according to Robert Kennedy Jr., his team had been discussing with the Secret Service, and the Secret Service was prepared to put an 8-man team on his campaign trail with him until the Biden White House denied it.
Boy, isn't that interesting. What a nice guy we got for president of the U.S., right?
Oh, my gosh. And he continually makes these incredible statements, like out-and-out lies, fabrications about his own life, about things that are happening out there. And the latest one today, he was screaming at a press conference telling people to show him that they haven't accomplished, or they've done everything they said they were going to do, and you better, someone show me that we didn't achieve what we wanted to do. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, so you wanted to kill 13, 12 Marines and a soldier as you're evacuating Afghanistan, leaving after 20 years and giving it back to the same people we took it from. You're really proud of the border and 7 to 8 million illegal immigrants that have crossed the border. You're really proud of the economy with inflation that continues to undermine the, people. I'm just like, what is this guy thinking? And why do people still, this is what I can't believe, why do people still believe what he says and repeat what he says?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you something interesting. I was watching Fox last week, and Biden's campaign manager, who is an elected politician representing, I can't think of the state, maybe you got it.
I don't remember.
Somewhere around Delaware, okay? But anyway, this man stood there and basically repeated again that Biden has done a phenomenal job in terms of accomplishment, and he just rattled them off one after the other. Now, the border issue certainly wasn't one of the ones that he wrapped off. The economy certainly wasn't one of the ones that he, threw out there. But he was incredibly, somebody who had very little acumen in politics would look at this guy, would look at his credentials, and they would say, all right, I'll take his word for it. But it's just it's absolutely abysmal, Jim. And what's going to be more abysmal is if Biden's there for a second term, in my opinion.
Yeah, that would be absolutely devastating to the country. But you can't count it out, because the way the votes are counted is what matters, not who votes.
Right.
And what we've seen with the abuse of the law enforcement Department of Justice against his political opposition, primary political opposition. But here's some of the issues that they are touting. The Biden administration talks about getting the infrastructure bill passed. The infrastructure bill was a Green New Deal type policy that paid off constituents and small groups that they would be able to continue to support the party. It paid off labor union leaders, though it undermined labor union members' jobs. That's one of the things that they claim. They talk about jobs creation, but when you actually look back at the facts, they talk about five million plus jobs. That's actually including the return of jobs after the COVID lockdown, and so many people lost their jobs. So if you go apples to apples from the same period of time from the Trump presidency and the number of jobs created to the Biden presidency with the number of jobs created, taking out that massive return of people to work because of the COVID lockdowns, then Trump does much better and produced a couple million more jobs than Joe Biden did in his first 3 years in office. So basically, they're manipulating information, lying to the American public, and praying that no one calls them out. And that actually shows how little respect they have for their own constituency, because they aren't willing to tell the truth. They think that their people are dumb enough to believe them, and unfortunately, in many cases, they're right.
Well, I'm sure not getting any valid arguments for President Biden around my neighborhood. I have to say that people just believe it, and they blindly believe everything, and I don't get it, Jim.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to psychologically understand what's happening, but as this mass formation psychosis, what they use to push people into fear over the COVID issues, I think that spread to the political world, because they claim that Trump was the tyrant and the potential authoritarian taking control of Hitler.
And we're going to be right back, you guys, for the wrap-up. Stick around.
For listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil.
We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Search and recovery efforts, of course, are still
continuing. When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Destination across the U.S.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope you all enjoyed those last two segments of KER Politics. To wrap up this show, I am featuring a replay of an interview I did with Chris Ritchie, president of Silvercrest Metals. It was posted on Friday. We started off this discussion by discussing the recent sell-off in the stock post-technical report, as well as the Q2 financial results. I hope you all enjoy this segment, and I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
You know, a few things going on there. One, the tape's not been great. The market's getting a little jittery. And to come out with a report showing fewer ounces and higher costs, as much as people can see some of those things in the broader market, yeah, it was a bit of a surprise for some. We had tried to telegraph some of the costs based on the market, but some of the details, you know, we don't know till the finish line ourselves, which is, you know, as soon as we know them, we got to report them. So we didn't know some of these details to the end. And I think sometimes historically, we've done a fairly, okay job at telegraphing. So I think we had some fast money thinking we were under-promising and over-delivering. So I think some people had actually positioned us to do a little better. So I think that was one aspect I think caught some people off guard. You know, the quant funds, you know, hedge funds, I think it's pretty easy to attack things that aren't performing very well because there was really no one on the other side. There's some funds that were definitely in our stock that have really tight risk tolerances. So as soon as they see a loss go above a certain amount, they're out. So I think, there's a lot of people that just don't have a lot of tolerance for pain. And that's absolutely fair. So there was a fair bit of that. I chatted with a really good high percentage of a lot of our big shareholders. A couple just don't like the interest rate environment and are wanting out of the space. Most are more constructive. I think most look at it and they look at the report and say, you have real-time data. You have up-to-date costs. you are performing at the asset level in line with the study you're putting out, they see it as less risk, right? So I think that was one of the biggest disconnects I saw between some people's reactions and others. Some people thinking your risk is higher, you've got more execution risk, and some people saying, no, you've actually ripped the Band-Aid off and you've actually put out a study in line with real-time performance, as opposed to other companies that put out a study, have to build a project, and then live up to something that, you know, was put out 3-4 years ago. So as a single asset company, we thought it was really healthy to give a real-time update based on, you know, what the asset's actually doing versus an estimation. It just so happens that some of those updates weren't as positive.
Chris, what do you think it takes to get some of these shareholders, some of these larger funds, back into the stock? Is it a sector-wide play where the metals price needs to go up, or is it something that you guys need to do to prove it out over the next few quarters?
I mean, right now the Fed came out with minutes saying there's still a chance of having higher, you know, interest rates, and that's obviously hitting the gold and silver space. So there's a macro trade that I think is a little bit worrisome for some. But for us, I mean, we keep talking about our defense. We keep talking about our balance sheet. We paid off our $90 million of debt. I think what some people are forgetting is that the worse the market gets, the more we stand out as a resilient operation here. And I think that dovetails into the announcements that you referenced. I mean, we've already announced that we're putting in a share buyback. You know, we have that strength down here to be saying, hey, it's time for us to support our supporters, right? If we're able to buy back stock now at lower prices than where we've issued it in the past. So we get to be opportunistic when things are weak, and that's a really big differentiator from some of our peers.
All right, let's get into the news then. Both releases coming out on August 9th. Let's talk about these Q2 financial results. Now, a number of numbers to go through here, but some of the keys that I saw were still an operating margin of 62%. You generated net free cash flow of a little over $43 million. And your cash flow from operating activities before changes in non-cash working capital was $47.5 million. If we compare these free cash flow numbers to what was outlined in that updated technical report that said you would generate about $84 million free cash flow post-tax, how does this all relate? These numbers seem a little bit higher than what came out in that technical report.
Yeah, our earnings were strong. Cash flow at the operational level was strong. And we had a nice little bonus on the quarter. If everybody who remembers some of our details knows that during our construction build, the Mexican government collects 16% of all of the capital we spend, and that goes in their pocket, and they rebate that. And that money comes back to us usually with about an 18-month lag. So a lot of that extra capital that we had to have in our pocket as we built it to pay those bills, that money's starting to come back. So a big chunk of that free cash flow was definitely to do with the operations and the operational execution. And then a handful of that was the government coming back with some of these tax dollars. And we do have some net operating losses, right? You know, it's like you spend so much money, you get to earn back some of that before your cash taxes kick in. So we turned that into repaying the last $25 million of outstanding debt. So we are now fully debt-free. So that's $90 million of debt repaid since November. And we also added about $8 million of cash to the balance sheet, plus about $4 million of silver and gold. So again, we're able to add $12 million of assets to the balance sheet after paying $25 million of debt. So I hope people can look at that and sort of get a little comfort there that the asset's performing really well.
Now, how about on the operations front? Because that news release also does highlight the operational results. And almost across the board, it seemed like the mine was running smoothly. Metallurgical recoveries improved over Q1. Development rates also increased. What can you tell us about how this mine is running compared to Q1?
Yeah, the guidance that we've put out to the market is having to sell about 10 million ounces silver equivalent for the year. You know, so for Q1, we're on pace for that. Q2, we're on pace for that. You know, so far we're not seeing anything in Q3 to think that that's, you know, off pace. So, you know, the cost that we put out in the technical report, we're going to be in the neighborhood of, you know, $14 an ounce. I think we were $12.70. So again, you know, silver's been coming down. Gold's been coming down. But we're still making roughly $10 of margin based on our all-in sustaining cost and today's silver price. So again, we'd like to be selling at higher prices, but that's what the strategy is. If we don't like the price we're getting, we'll sell it at the operational level and we'll buy more back at the corporate level.
I do have to ask you, when do you start using some of this money to go out and maybe acquire another asset, whether it be production or something else, turn Silvercrest into a multi-asset company?
Well, again, for anyone who's heard me rant and rave over the last few years, it was really trying to highlight the benefits that come with high margins. You know, for those who have heard the story of the old Silvercrest, the previous Silvercrest, the Santa Elena mine that's 25 kilometers away from our asset, we sold to First Majestic when the market was really quite ugly. And First Majestic is a higher cost producer. Santa Elena is a great asset that had a lot of free cash flow and good margins. We transacted with them when the market was weak, and we were in a really strong position to have that conversation with them. We got really good value for that asset in their portfolio. And it just so happens that 9 months later, their stock went up 600%. So our shareholders benefited from us transacting when the market was weak because we were in a position of strength. So the worse the market gets, the better position we will be in to go out and transact, to go out and look at some new assets, get a good price, or find another producing asset where, again, they've navigated a lot of the risks that we've navigated. And we can, again, give shareholders, you know, two assets or three assets. You're going to get rid of one of the management teams. You don't need two CEOs or two presidents, right? So a lot of the synergies that come with, you know, running a company, that drops to the bottom line, those costs, right? Because you're getting rid of a bunch of those costs. So for us, that's the big focus now. You know, get back to growth, get back to marketing, really highlight the value that comes from having a differentiated asset, and then look what we can do for growth.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guest by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000. Work.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family. family's health insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.